Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, welcome back to Family Health and Lifestyle. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. And joining me online from Cape Town is Sister Edlise Rahman Burgers, La Lech League leader from Cape Town. She is also a medical doctor, and we're talking to her about breastfeeding and working mums. Now, we also know that she has been a working breastfeeding mother with all four of her children. With her first child, she used formula milk as well as expressed breast milk when she returned to work. With the latter three children, she exclusively breastfed until her children started solids. All of her children have breastfed for extended periods of time. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ahmed. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I know you're quite busy, but shukran for joining us this afternoon. We're going to talk about breastfeeding and working mums, and they say whether you're back in the office or the factory in a few weeks or so, or more than 4 months after your baby is born, you may wonder if it is possible to continue breastfeeding after returning to work. Now, the answer simply is yes, although breastfeeding after returning to work is definitely trickier in some situations, but it is still possible. So Dr. Ahmed Burgers will be telling us more, inshallah. Once again, Jazakallah khair. Dr. Rahmat, please tell us, how can one continue to breastfeed once they have gone back to work? And of course, in a situation where you are not with your babies full time.
Yes. You know, yes, actually, our South African law actually protects working mothers. Mm-hmm. Most women actually don't know this. A lot of the employers don't realize this. But because the health ministry, and in fact, you know, pretty much every department in government, they realize how important it is to have a healthy nation. The law actually says that if you're a working breastfeeding mother, you are entitled to 2 extra 30-minute breaks in your work day. That's not your lunch time. It's not your tea time. It's 2 extra 30-minute breaks. And in that time, you have that time to express milk. Or if your baby is close by, so some creches are on site, for example. So if you have a daycare facility which is on site, then you have that time to go and breastfeed your baby. Mm-hmm. For mothers that are further away, they would obviously have to express milk and then store it. But breast milk is so sturdy that if you have a deep freezer, it can even be stored for 6 to 12 months. So it's certainly possible. And it gets a little bit easier once your baby starts going on to solid food, because then the milk requirements are less. So it's really just about those first few months, you know, before your child is properly onto solid foods, that you need to put in a little bit more time and effort to get through this.
Okay, and yes, it's actually surprising. I wasn't aware of this too, where you can, that the law allows you extra time, you know, that extra breaks rather, for breastfeeding mums, alhamdulillah. And I think many people that don't know would be quite, surprised and of course happy to know that there is, the law does allow you to have that extra time for breastfeeding.
Yes. In fact, people can go and visit the mywage.co.za site, and they've got all the laws related to breastfeeding on there. Or you can even just Google breastfeeding and work in South Africa, and the laws will come up for that.
Oh, okay.
So because it's so important, you know, breastfeeding is there to protect our children. So everyone knows that breastfeeding protects children from getting sick. Mm. Your common cough and cold and ear infections, but also the more serious things like diarrhea and pneumonia. Even with COVID now, even if mothers have contracted COVID themselves, it's so important to continue breastfeeding because our bodies are far stronger than our babies' bodies in terms of our immune system. So as we are fighting off that COVID virus, our body makes antibodies and germ-fighting properties to fight off the COVID virus, and that actually goes through to the baby in the breast milk to protect the baby. So whatever bugs you are exposed to, you know, even if your baby's in a daycare, for example, if you go to that daycare and you sit there, your immune system will get exposed to whatever bugs are floating in that environment and make specific germ-fighting properties, and that will pass through to your baby to protect your baby.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, how does one actually express and estimate how much of milk to leave for your baby?
Yes, this is a common question we get asked. It really depends on how long you are going to be away from your child. So I'll give you a rough guide, about 40 mils per hour that you are away. But that is really just a guide. So some babies will need a little bit more and some babies will need a little bit less. But there are also things that you can do to make the most of that expressed milk, because expressing, you know, does take quite a bit of effort. So, for example, in the morning, if you fit in an extra breastfeed, then it delays the time that the baby is going to need the first bottle. So even if you breastfeed at home before you leave the house, but if you have to now go to a creche or a daycare facility, then you can just spend 5 or 10 minutes there, breastfeed the baby before you go to work. So it'll mean that the daycare people will not feed the baby immediately and not use up your milk immediately, mm-hmm. you know? And in the afternoon, the same thing. Like if you're coming home and the baby's hungry, maybe they can just give half the feed to the baby if they know you're on your way. And then when you get there, you can feed the baby as well.
Okay. So what advice can you give to mums that are perhaps, very worried about their milk supply for that matter?
I think all mothers have this worry at some or other point. But, when we are pregnant, our bodies are perfectly capable of looking after our babies. We don't sit and worry about how we're feeding our babies when we're pregnant, right? They're just there and they grow, and Allah's given us this womb and this placenta and the cord, and it just takes care of it. And the same thing is true when the baby comes out. We just have to think of it as the baby being on the other side of our skin, really. But as long as the baby's kept close, your body knows what to do. So your body knows how much to make and how to make it. For example, I'll just give you one example. Breast milk is so specific to your child that they've done studies looking at mothers who have twins. And if the one twin has different nutritional requirements and is only feeding on one breast, when they analyzed the milk, they found that the milk for the two babies were different.
Oh.
That's how specific our milk is for our child. And when the baby drinks at the breast, the baby's saliva kind of backwashes into the breast, and it sends a signal to the mommy's body to say, mommy, these are the germs in the environment, you need to protect me. And the mommy's immune system kicks in and then makes these germ-fighting properties, and then at the next feed, the baby gets that. And there's melatonin in breast milk, so around about 3 to 4 months, that melatonin helps babies to tell the difference between day and night. So it's specifically tailor-made for your child, you know. Mm. If the baby's sick, it changes all the time. Sometimes even the food we eat gets flavored in our breast milk. So because babies are tasting those all subtle little differences, the evidence even shows that breastfed babies take more easily to solid food than babies who are formula-fed.
Okay.
Quite amazing.
Yes, it's absolutely amazing. You know, it's Allah's Qudrat, I think. We just don't understand it. But if we really have to, look at it, it's absolutely amazing. But now they say that the more baby nurses are more you stimulate your breast with hen expression or pumping, the more milk you will produce. But more than the expressing and the pumping of the milk, it says that if you know a baby, the more the baby nurses the baby, the more the milk will stimulate. But what happens in this case? Does your milk maybe get a little less because your baby is not nursing so much anymore?
Definitely the baby is far more efficient than any pump, you know, because that's how it was designed, you know. Mm. I mean, the baby, your body understands when a baby's drinking, that the body is making milk for a baby. The body doesn't always understand when a pump is attached to it, you know. It doesn't quite understand a piece of plastic. We don't know what it's, our brains don't get that. But it's something that you learn. So if you're a working mom, don't expect the first time that you're pumping, you're going to get like big volumes. You probably might get nothing, and then as your body starts adjusting, you will get a few droplets. But as you continue to do the same thing, you know, you kind of teaching your body to respond to the pump or to respond to hand expressing, then it starts happening. But it does need to happen for almost every time that your baby is going to miss a feed, you know. So if you are away and you know your baby's missing two feeds, you would have to fit some time in to at least express for twice in that time. I think the mistake a lot of mothers make is that they've got a lunchtime, so they think that that's the time they've got, and they've got 30 minutes, and then they're going to use that. Whereas that 30 minutes could be broken up into two 15 minutes. You'd probably get more expressing two separate 15-minute sessions than to express in one 30-minute session. You know,
yeah.
Even if you've got 5 or 10 minutes, if you've got 5 or 10 minutes, but you can have it 3 times a day or 4 times a day, it's better, because the more often you stimulate the breasts, the more signal you're sending that it needs to be replaced again.
Okay. What about weekends or holidays, you know? Do you still continue the same thing you do, like especially if you're now a working mom, so you still express the milk, or do you, you know, utilize that time to actually breastfeed the baby full-time, kind of?
You know, a lot of children, and for mothers as well, it's very stressful going back to work, so the first few weeks, a lot of adjustment. Mm-hmm. So especially for the first few weeks, it's probably better to just spend as much time with the baby as possible. You know, let the baby drink as often as possible and just leave the bottles and the pumping aside on the weekends and on the nights. If you do have the time, once you've kind of gotten into a bit of a rhythm, if you do have a bit of time, then you can express after you've fed the baby. But try and avoid using bottles and dummies when you are with the baby. Because, like we said earlier, the best thing that stimulates milk production is actually the baby. So you want to make up for that and just feed often. And doesn't matter what the timings are, you know. If it doesn't matter that it's just been 30 minutes ago that baby wanted to drink. You know, I always say to mothers that, like now we're in summer, mm-hmm. and it's hot and I'm thirsty, so I want a glass of water. Am I going to watch the clock now to say, but 2 hours haven't passed, so I can't have my glass of water? None of us actually do that, right? Mm-hmm. That's a bit crazy. Or if we want our cup of tea, we want our cup of tea. We're not going to watch the clock and say, but, you know, tea time's only at 3 o'clock. We will eat and drink according to how we need, and that's how we need to respond to our children as well. So we watch what they need and respond to them. And you're less likely to have a baby who's not happy and who's crying and hungry, because you responded before the time. You watch the early signs.
Okay. Another problem that may arise is the bottle. Is it possible for the baby not to want to take the bottle? And also another thing is it possible that the baby, once they start with the bottle, then refuse to take the breast?
Yes, I think that goes both ways, like you've just said now.
Mm-hmm.
So some babies just don't like the bottle at the beginning. But you must understand, if you put yourself in the baby's shoes, right, the I mean, it's a piece of plastic. Mm. It looks like any other toy. So they don't understand what to do with it. So initially it might be just a good idea to just allow the baby to use it as a toy and touch and feel and lick or whatever at the beginning and not force it. So not force it into the mouth and expect that the baby automatically knows what to do with it. But with a lot of babies, you know, it's just about gentle persuasion and gentle perseverance, and most of them eventually take it. Different things work for different babies, so sometimes it has to be someone other than the mommy that's giving it. So maybe the father can try, or the grandparents can try, or the creche or the caregiver can try. Some want to be held in the same way that their mothers hold them, while others want to be held facing outside. But for those babies who really, really refuse the bottle, I think it's important for us to realize there's other ways of feeding a baby. You know, bottles are quite a modern invention. Mm-hmm. And as humankind, we have survived without them for many, many, many centuries. So if your baby's absolutely refusing, you can use a teaspoon, or you can use a cup, or if you're desperate, you can even use a syringe. We don't want our babies to be starving and hungry. So there are other ways of just getting something in. They're also more likely to take that bottle if they're not so hungry. So try when they are calm. No, don't wait until they're absolutely hungry. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other part was about when they're not so happy to get back to the breast again. Yeah. Hey? That was your other question.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the drinking from the bottle and the drinking from the breast is very different. It uses completely different muscles. And, you know, if you turn a bottle upside down, you will notice that it drips. Yeah. So that thing drips whether you do anything or not, you know. So there's not a lot of effort attached to it. Whereas at the breast, the baby has to suck to kind of get the milk to release or to flow. So when you are using a bottle, you want to try and copy that as much as possible. You don't want to just put the bottle in the baby's mouth and keep it up and just let it drip down. It's better to try and keep the bottle in a more horizontal manner and then let the baby drink for 1 or 2 minutes and then drop it down to give the baby a pause, which would be similar to the way the baby drinks at the breast, because at breastfeeding, then babies will look at the mommy, they will smile, they will pull mommy's hair, they'll touch her face. You know, there's all these little interactions that happen in between, connecting mother and child, which is missing from bottle feeding. So you want to copy that, take the pause, then lift the bottle again, let the baby drink a little again, and then drop it down again. The problem with the bottle feeding is it mustn't be too fast, because babies, well, if they're drinking too fast, they don't realize that they've gotten full yet, and then they tend to overfeed. So you want to pace the feed. And there's quite a few videos on YouTube that mommies can go look up called paced bottle feeding, which is quite useful.
Okay. So what we actually want is them to get used to the bottle, the teat of the bottle as well. And I think you shouldn't actually be making sure that the hole is very big in the teat of the bottle.
That is such a good question. You know, there's all these fancy teats on the market, and they all make these claims that they are closer to the mother's breasts. But if we look at ourselves and we look at those teats on the market, I mean, they are really not the same. And they also, like you said, they have these sizes on them. But if you think about how we are as mothers, our breasts don't actually change size. Maybe in those first few weeks, then we feel a bit fuller. Mm-hmm. But after that, our bodies quickly kind of adjust, and we have the same size, you know. So if you're going to choose a teat, probably a good idea to just start with a newborn size and stick with that, because your breasts don't change size.
Okay, that's interesting. Didn't think of it in that way. In any case, storing your breast milk, what would you say is the best way to store the breast milk and to perhaps, you mentioned earlier that you could freeze it. How do you warm the milk? What is the best way to warm it then?
I've said before that breast milk is quite sturdy. It has a lot of germ fighting properties. So you really can store it in just about any clean container. Mm-hmm. I know there's also a lot of products on the market, but again, if you're thinking about someone who has got nothing, you can put it in any clean container. Some mothers just use empty glass jars. So kind of your stuff that you would buy, for example, you buy your jam or whatever glass food containers, they've been heat treated. Mm-hmm. So glass is a good storage. Otherwise, some mothers use ice cube trays because you want to store very small volumes. Remember I said 40 moles an hour is roughly what you need. Okay. So one ice cube roughly would be about 40 moles depending on the types of ice cube trays you get. But that's a rough idea. And then what they do is they take those ice cubes, freeze them, and then they take them out into, for example, an old 2-liter ice cream container. And then whoever's looking after it can just take out a few ice cubes at a time. Some other mothers will use plastic bags. And so what they do is they store the bags flat. And once they've frozen, then they store them upright to save space. It really, you can use any container. And if you're keeping it in the fridge, it's best to keep it at the back of the fridge because the temperature is a bit more stable near the back of the fridge. You don't want to keep it in front because the door's constantly being opened and then you're getting this, there's nothing wrong with it, but the milk is not going to last as long. So if you keep keeping it at the back of the fridge, it can last for, I'll give you a rough guide, say, about a week in the back of the fridge. And if you've got a normal fridge freezer, you can go for about 2 to 4 to 6 months. If you've got a chest freezer, you can go 6 to 12 months. So ideally, it's a good idea to put on the date of the milk. So the day you're expressing, you put the date on. You can also put the volume on because remember, when you freeze it, it's going to expand. So when it's frozen, you're not going to get an accurate idea of how much has actually been stored there. And then to warm it out, you can just leave it in the fridge the previous day to thaw. Or if you need it urgently right now, what you can do is just put it into another container with warm water. Or if you need it like absolutely immediately, you can run it under a warm tap. You don't want to run it immediately under hot water, but a tap that's just gently warming up. We prefer not to use a microwave because the microwave can cause hot spots. And the microwave also kills off a lot of the good nutrients in the milk.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So basically, it's very easy to do it. And I think with a lot of good planning and support, this whole thing about breastfeeding and going to work is not going to be such a big problem after all.
You know, this Saturday, I'm actually running a Zoom meeting from 2:30 till 4:00. So if any of your listeners are interested, they are welcome to join me on that Zoom meeting, and the Zoom meeting is absolutely free.
Okay.
So anyone who needs a little bit of assistance with some more questions in returning to work, they're welcome to contact me. May I share my number?
Yes, please do that.
So my number is 082-8264-600, and the contact details are also on the Lalature League South Africa website, so it's llsa.org, and if you look under events, we have meetings running all the time, but this Saturday at 2:30, we're having one on returning to work, so it's specifically dealing with all these issues.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Rahmat Bagas, for speaking to us. We certainly do appreciate it. And we hope to speak to you again, inshallah, in the near future. Thank you.
Inshallah, any time you would like us to come along, we will make ourselves available. And jazakallah for having us. If I can just say one last thing.
Yes, you do.
That this is not just about the mommy, about the babies. It's also about the mothers, which is also something that women just don't realize. Breastfeeding protects us from breast cancer, from heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes. There's lots and lots of research going on about the importance for mothers and our own health as well. So very, very important. Long-term effects beyond just the breastfeeding period. So very important. And alhamdulillah, look how Allah has designed us, hey?
Yes.
Something that we think we are doing for our child has so much reward for ourselves.
Dr. Burgess, this is one question before I leave you that I'd like to quickly ask you. It's with regards to the COVID virus. If a mom is COVID, has the COVID virus, and you said no matter what, you should continue breastfeeding, but is it advisable then to breastfeed the baby on your breast, or during this time, can one just express milk and then breastfeed the baby? Use the breast milk instead?
For optimal health, the most optimal solution is to actually breastfeed that baby directly at the breast.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because of that connection between the child and the mother, which happens at the breast. So when the child is drinking directly from the mother, the child's saliva communicates with the mother's immune system. And then the immune system sends through those germ-fighting properties to the baby, right? In the extreme case that the mother has been admitted to hospital, where direct breastfeeding is not possible, that would be the only other time, then we would say, someone in that hospital, and I know I'm saying this knowing full well what's been going on with COVID, the mother is extremely sick, but if only they would realize how important this is, if someone in that hospital can help this mother to express, and someone can go and fetch the milk from that hospital to bring to the baby, then that is also very important because the baby will then get those germ-fighting properties.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's been this myth out there, really a lot of misinformation, that babies should be separated. Now, we know from in this week, this recent research that's revealed 50% of the South African population has already had COVID, right?
Yeah.
All these people that thought they didn't have it, that have possibly been asymptomatic, but they've had it. So just because someone, you know, if you're sick and you now give your child over to your sister, for example, you assume that your sister is well, but we don't know that. We don't know that the child is going into a germ-free, safe, sterile environment. More likely than not, everyone else has also been exposed. So the child's already been exposed. The best we can do is provide the protection along with that by continuing to breastfeed or continuing to provide the expressed breast milk.
Okay.
Does that explain it to
yes,
the patient?
Yes, yes, definitely. I just wanted to know that because, I mean, the minute anybody is diagnosed with COVID, immediately, you have to isolate. So I was just wondering what happens to the baby in the meantime then, especially if the baby is breastfeeding. But shukr and jazakallah.
But, in practical terms,
uh-huh.
Isolation in homes hardly happens.
Uh-huh. Yes.
But if you're going to isolate with your baby.
Okay. Now, well, jazakallah khair for all that information. We certainly do appreciate it. And we hope to speak to you again soon. Thank you, jazakallah.
Inshallah.
Okay. Well, listeners.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.